Will to turn with us to the Gospel according to St. Luke. Out of the 18th chapter, I'll read verses 1 through 3 and 10 through 13. Supporting scripture from St. Matthew 6, 5, and 6. The Gospel according to St. Luke, found in the 18th chapter, beginning at verse 1, the Bible reads, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. Verse 10, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote unto his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner." Supporting scripture, St. Matthew 6, 5, and 6. "And without prayers, thou should not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Men ought always to pray and not to faint. The basis of those verses, we like to use the thought of subject this morning. Everybody ought to know how to pray. Everybody ought to know how to pray. I thank God for this another day's journey. Thank God for how, despite ourselves, God has just been such a mighty good God. I thank God for Fowl's Chapel this morning, for truly we are moving in the direction that God would have us to go. We ever so grateful on Thursday evening for your support and your love and all of your prayers and your prayers throughout this past week. Those prayers and the grace and the mercy of God has brought us thus far. And I don't know about you, but I think that there comes a time that we need to stop going through the motions of church and learn what it is to have true worship. Sunday school lesson clearly defines that if we worship God right, then it will move us to serve. And if you find yourself being a little lazy, it's because you're not worshiping God to the fullest. Because when you're doing something for God, it makes you want to do something for somebody else. I find that when you give, just make a little sacrifice of your time just for the cause of Christ, you will find that somewhere in that day's span, God just sort of steps in and does something special for you. And then when we think, and I love to hear Sister Wilma saying, if the Lord doesn't do anything else, he's already done enough. But when we really think about how much the Lord God has already done, when we look to where we are right now, and we say it because we heard it said and it sound good, look where he brought us from. But when we really thank God from whence we come, it ought to make us have a more of an excited spirit about where we are. And then if we really think about where we're trying to go. You see, if you don't know where you're trying to go, then you don't have any enthusiasm. You don't have anything to excite you. Nothing motivates you to just make that sacrifice or move a little bit faster than what you're moving. And then even if you move slow, God didn't say you had to move fast or slow. He just said keep on moving. For the Bible declared the race is not given to the swift or to the strong, but to him that endureth unto the end. So don't worry about the fact that you can't move as fast as you used to move. Just keep on moving. Hallelujah, Jesus. I wonder this morning how many of you are glad that you're able to just move. In this small community of ours and the way that the death train has been rolling, you would think that we ought to be excited about just being alive. We ought to be excited about having another opportunity to come into the house of God, and nobody didn't roll us in. Nobody's waiting to make remarks about what we used to do and how we used to be. We are yet still alive on today. And the Bible declares that this is the day that the Lord God has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I got something to be glad about this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. If it had not been for the Lord who is on our side, where would we be? Because we are blessed people this morning, and we're so blessed that God has allowed us another opportunity to come together to worship him and to praise his holy and righteous name. Even in a time such as this, we just realize that God keeps on doing great things for us. Isn't it amazing how we find when the statistics are read that we may live in North Carolina where we have a lot of poverty and where we don't seemingly have a whole lot. And then on the other hand, if we got Jesus, if we got peace of mind, if we got real faith. You see, if you got real faith, then that lets you know that if you don't have the material things or the needs that you think that you need right now, if you trust in God before you actually need it, God is going to step in and make sure that it come to pass. I serve a right now God. I serve a God that will always come to our rescue. I heard a man of God say last night that when we talk about wanting our possessions, we have to lay hands on it. You got to learn how to lay your hands on what is yours. You can't worry about what somebody else is saying. You got to have ownership. You got to know that what God has for you, it is for you. You got to know that no weapon formed against you is going to be able to prosper. You got to know that the enemy cannot stop you from getting what God has for you. Everybody don't want you to be blessed, but God wants you to be blessed. And it's not about what somebody else wants. It's about what you want from God and what you know God can do for you. We got to stop denying our blessings. Start out on this another week's journey, and we find that we need to be mindful to ask God for leadership and direction. Last week has come and gone, and don't ponder or worry about what you didn't get done. What you didn't get done, you didn't get done. If it really need to be done, pray to God, Lord, help me to get around to the things that I need to have done in my life. Sometimes we find ourselves suffering and going through because we put too much pressure on ourselves. Many times we don't have time enough to wait on God. Somebody said that he may not come when you want him. He's always on time. But then there's still that person that is still standing there wondering, Lord, where are you? Lord, when are you going to come? And you sometimes you have to be persistent, but you got to learn how to really wait on God. Waiting on God is not easy sometimes. Sometimes when you're waiting on God, the enemy will begin to attack your mind and he'll begin to attack your spirit. And if that don't work, he'll attack your children. If that don't work, he'll attack your body. And as he began to attack your body, he's trying to get your attention off of Jesus. And if he can get your attention off of Jesus, then he's put a stumbling block in the way. He's put a hindrance right there between you and your blessing. So you got to make a decision. Either I want my blessing or I don't. How many of you are willing to fight for your blessing? Sometimes we find ourselves not having simply because we don't ask. The Bible declares we have not because you ask not. Then there are those of us that ask, but we have doubt in our mind. When you allow doubt to seep in, that hinders you from getting a full dose of God's blessings. Because God got to deal with your doubt. God got to wait on you to get over your doubting spirit in order for him to hear or be able to deliver what you need. Well, why God is going to come in when you still wondering, is he going to come? You ought to know that God is on your side. If you say God loves you more than you love yourself, then you ought to know that God loves you. If you say that God will make a way out of no way, you ought to act like he is a way maker. If God is a way maker, why do we always sit around with our heads hung down? Why are we always scratching our head? Why are we always trying to figure out why are we going to work it out when God is already working it out for us? We got to know that God can go beyond our thought process. I'm so glad that God has more power than what I can think. Because we think to a particular level and then we stop. We got to understand that we serve a God that is able to do anything. The Bible declared that with men, some things are impossible, but with God, all things. Hallelujah, Jesus. I don't even think you hear me this morning. Some of y'all spirit just as cloudy as it is on the outside. But when you serve a possible God, then you know that he's a miracle worker. You know that he can do anything but fail. You know that God can come in and where man has said that it's not going to happen, God can make man out of a liar. We've had a living testimony to stand and declare today that one day I was diagnosed with cancer. Today I'm cancer free. So does that not let us know that God is still a healer? Now, we do have some that have died with cancer. We have some that still have cancer. Some are going to die with cancer, but cancer is not going to take everybody out. There are some folk going to be just like Brother Curly. They're going to have a testimony that I went to the Lord my God, and God got rid of all of my cancer. Cancer is not the only thing killing us. We're killing ourselves. Sometimes our doubt kills us. Because if you doubt, if the doctor tells you something and you got a doubting spirit and you don't have faith in God, you will worry yourself to death. But how many of you know that if you are a believer, when you go in there, it doesn't matter what the doctor says. While he's talking to you, you already talking to somebody else. And while you're talking to that somebody else, he's saying let that quiet, sweet spirit down and speaks to your heart and whisper to you, it's going to be all right. He whispers to you, let it out, let it out, let it out. Don't let what that doctor have hold on the inside. Because if it's still on the inside, it's going to eat at you. You got to walk away from that thing. Some folks say that, and I've seen folk that are really, really sick physically, but when you ask them, they say, I'm all right. When you ask them, they say, there's no sickness in my body. And then some of us that have a little doubt in our mind, we'll look at them like they're crazy. Look at them like, I see your body doesn't fail. I see you getting frail. I see your hair falling out. I see all of these things happening to the outside of your body, and how are you going to tell me you're not sick? I remember, and there was an individual by the name of Bebe, Bobo. Bebe went through a whole lot while she was alive. But every time I went to see her, she declared, I'm not sick. Family members looked at her like she was crazy. But I believe she had an inside connection with the Master. Because when you get that inside connection and you get it right with God to know that you are spiritually healed, then everything else is going to be all right. Because I found out that if I get the glory, I don't need these arms down here. God got me some new arms. You got to learn how to not accept everything laying down. You got to learn how to fight. If you want to be healed, you got to fight for your healing. You got to learn how to talk to God for your healing. As believers, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we got to love one another. We got to start praying more for one another. We got to learn how to help one another. As we look around in the world today, everything seems to be in a turmoil. Seems like destruction is on every hand and the world is in despair. People are struggling all over the land and they're hurting all down in their bodies. But those of us that make up the body of Christ, doesn't matter what denomination or what movement you might represent. If you represent Christ, you need a deeper depth of commitment. If you get committed to the walk of God, then you'll learn how to go when you don't feel like going. You'll learn how to sometimes when on the one side you would say that I don't feel like it, but because of the power of God, you learn how to have a positive attitude about life. Stop listening to the negative naysayers. Whole lot of folk always talking about you're not going to mount to nothing. You're always going to be sick. I come to tell somebody this morning that God has a power that is beyond measure. We got to learn how to worship God. And when we worship God, he will teach us how to serve ye one another. See, I found out that the key to success is respect. You learn how to respect yourself, you'll find that life will be a lot easier. Because if you respect yourself, somebody else is going to respect you. Did not we learn this morning that we got to respect I am. Mothers and fathers, older folk, treat them like they're your own mom and daddy. That's what's wrong with the world today. Our people don't have no respect. You wonder why the young people are going through? It's because somebody is raising them without respect. They don't respect themselves. They don't respect the church. They don't respect nobody. And without respect, the community will go down. We are not living in the time of old when they say that a village could raise a child. The village done changed. There was a time in the village you were welcome in every little hut. But now in the new village, if you're not in my clique, don't come to my house. In the new village, if you belong to sister so-and-so, then I don't like her, so don't bring her offspring in my house. Children don't have nothing to do with that mess y'all did 50 years ago. Old folks still walking around carrying grudges, not even speaking to one another over something that happened 30 years ago. If she took your man, that man ain't no good now, no how. Let it go. I'm going to preach in a minute. The Bible says, if we are to get away from the mess that we're in, then we got to learn the first condition. In order for the church to survive, in order for people of God to survive, then everybody got to know how to pray. The Bible says, when thou prayest, thou should not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you that they have their reward. Talking about those that can pray in church, don't never pray at home. Pray at home sometime, your prayer won't be so long in the church house. Always pray mean pray every day. Don't pray just when you down and out. Don't pray just when you sick. Don't pray just when you broke. The Bible says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret. And the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Whole lot of blabbling and saying nothing. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for the Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you even ask. So sometimes we look at it as contradictory, because if he already know, why do we have to ask? But we have to ask because it belongs to him. You can't just go pick it up because you see it. Did not our parents teach us that anything in this house you can have it, but ask for it? You ain't bought nothing. So you have to learn how to ask for it. Prayer. Nothing but communication with God. Prayer is just an earnest request, asking God, a pleading to God, a confession, a devotion, or just a special set of words to make an appeal to God. So when I make my appeal to God, the Bible says, if I could steal away into my secret closet and pray to God all by myself, I don't have to have no witnesses to hear me pray. Because there's some things I need to ask God about. I don't want nobody else to hear, because somebody might try to steal my blessing before I get it. There might be some things I've done in my life that I need to tell God I'm sorry. And I don't want everybody else to know, because they're going to get it out of proportion. So I got to steal away in my own secret closet and talk to my God. Guess what? Every one of you in here got the ability, or ought to have the knowledge, to know how to pray. Give me about 10 more minutes. Jesus says, let me give you a little guideline. Because when you pray, you got to know who you're talking to. And when you're talking to somebody, you need to pray to somebody that's going to be able to do something about your need. The Bible says, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. It's more than just the little prayer that you learned as a child. When you are there and you began to pray and you just say the prayer instead of pray the prayer. See, there's a difference. We done got so used to just saying the prayer. But you know what? I thank God for my elders. I can remember standing by the graveside. And I thought with my smooth self, let us say the Lord's Prayer together. This little old lady, when I finished praying, walking toward the grave, she said, you don't mind if I tell you something? I said, no, ma'am. She said, don't never say the prayer. You say, pray the prayer. You're never too old to learn something you thought you knew. I didn't get mad at the lady. I thank God for the lady. Because now I know the right thing to say when I get to the graveside. Sometimes when people try to help you, stop getting all bent out of shape. I will never, ever forget that day. The Bible says, Jesus said, as you pray, there are going to be some folk that owe you some things. Don't get mad because I ain't paid you. Don't hate me because you remember that I still owe you a little something. Get too bad on you, go back to the Bible. And forgive us our debts as we forgive others. See, we always want somebody to look out for us. But when the table is turned, we turn the table. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. So Jesus taught us how to pray. There are those of us this morning that know a little bit about prayer. But I wonder this morning, do you understand that it doesn't matter what or how you say it. All it means is that you got to mean what you say. You got to understand this morning that there are all kinds of prayers. And you can't just get caught up on saying a little weak prayer. And just because you don't get your answer, you go somewhere and sit down. The Bible said that men ought to pray without ceasing. Always pray and not faint. For the Bible declared that there was a city. And in this city, there was a judge. And the judge did not like God, didn't know God, didn't regard God as God. But there was a widow there. And the Bible said that the widow came unto him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. But because he didn't have compassion in his heart, because he did not know the Lord like we know God, he didn't want to hear what the widow woman had to say. But I come to tell somebody this morning that when you pray, you got to learn how to have a determination. You got to have a nagging spirit sometimes. You can't take no for your final answer. You got to learn how to keep on praying no matter what somebody else say. It might seem like you're not going to get through, but I stop by to tell you that you got to pray on anyhow. You got to pray knowing that God is going to work it out in your favor. The Bible lets us know that this woman got exactly what she wanted because she continued to pray. The Bible said that the man said, the woman had wearied me. She just keep on acting for the same thing. Anybody in here ask God for something and you didn't get exactly what you wanted? But you got to learn how to keep on asking. You can't give up on God. But you got to ask God for what you want. You can't feel like because you're in a certain position that God's going to hear your prayer faster than he hear somebody else's prayer. But there was a Pharisee that began to pray. But before he opened up his mouth in prayer, he began to say, I used to do this. I pay my tithes and my offering. I give everything off of my possessions. I am a man to go to God's house. I love God with all of my heart. I do this and I do that. But when you pray to God, God don't need to know what you do. He already know what you do. You need to be like the publican that just wouldn't even open up his eyes, wouldn't even look up to the heaven, but he humbled himself down and looked down and said, oh Lord, have mercy on me. If you want to pray this morning, you better learn how to humble yourself. You better learn how to get up off your high horse and know that it's not all about you, but it's about the power of an almighty God. Man needs to always pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray in the morning. Pray in the noonday. Pray in the midnight hour. Pray when everything is going right. And pray when everything is going wrong. You need to pray when there's nobody around you. You need to pray when you're all by yourself. I wonder how many of you this morning know how to talk to God for yourself. Or you're waiting on somebody to come by and say a prayer for you. But when your family needs somebody to go down on bended knee, don't wait on the preacher man. Don't wait on the officers of the church. But know that you got the power in your own lips to open up your mouth. Go down on bended knee. Say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I stop by to tell my God that I thank God for the praying spirit of the people of Almighty God. Somebody prayed for me. And because they prayed for me, I feel better than I did last week. I feel better than I did yesterday. I feel better because I know God is yet on my side. Anybody know God? Anybody know he's a prayer-answering God? You got to learn. Don't let nothing shake your faith. Even though death and sickness might come, you got to still stand up and pray anyhow. You might not have a dollar, but you got to pray anyhow. You might not even have a friend, but I stop by to tell you, you got a friend in Jesus. And as long as you got Jesus, everything's going to be all right. Everybody ought to know how to pray. You don't need fancy words. It don't have to be long drawn. And then sometimes you need to stay down there for a while. You know how it is when you're in such a hurry and you're such got a routine and you run there, you jump at the table, you done threw down two bites, and then you remember, I ain't even said my grace. What if you choke while you trying to say it? Slow down just a little bit and take time to pray. Pray for all things. I used to think that it was kind of crazy when they said pray for your bad time. But you know, I learned that that's what makes you a stronger individual. When you're going through and you can talk to an invisible being and out of nowhere, he makes himself visible in your life. You see, you can't see all that God is doing for your neighbor. But that person sitting beside you, they've been blessed by the best this day. This day, every one of us in here have been blessed. When we got up this morning, some of us hurriedly got dressed and came on into the house. But let us always have a mind that when we open up our eyes, Lord, I just want to thank you for another day's journey. Anybody glad this morning? Anybody happy about Jesus this morning? Anybody know the power and the strength of prayer? How many of you really know what prayer can do? I heard somebody say prayer changes things. Hallelujah, Jesus. Are there any prayers in the house? Then a real prayers in the house that know how to steal away, that know how to get a message through to God to let him know that I got somebody that stands in need of a blessing. I need you, but I know somebody else that stands in need of a blessing. And all we have to do is pray. Pray without ceasing. The Bible says men ought to always pray and not faint. Don't get so relaxed and don't sit down on God, but pray his strength, your strength in God, and he will renew your strength. So said the Lord our God.